بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف خلق الله أجمعين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، we have gathered والحمد لله here at المسجد الأول on the 15th night of Rabi' al-Thani, the fourth month, the year 1437. By the grace and bounties of Allah Ta'ala, we've come together after being separated for some time due to some weather, some difficult weather that we face. We thank Allah Ta'ala for the safety we have enjoyed and for the safety of our families and for the safety of our Muslim brothers and sisters. Walhamdulillah. We return back to our final session, our 12th and final session in tafsir of Surah Al-Hujurat, the great surah with so many benefits of manners and rulings. Walhamdulillah. We have benefited greatly in the first 11 sessions, and likewise we hope that Allah Ta'ala grants us an increase in our understanding of these noble verses and in our anticipation or our ambition to practice what we learn. We begin on page 63 of the printed version. That is with the statement of Allah Ta'ala. And of course, we're reading from the tafsir of the great scholar Shaykh Muhammad ibn Saleh al-Uthaymeen, as is our custom for Sunday nights. Rahimahullahu ta'ala, may Allah have an abundance of mercy upon him. He said regarding the statement of Allah, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. Verily, the believers are but those who believe in Allah and His Messenger, and then thereafter do not have doubt. They don't have raib. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. Then they don't have doubt. The Shaykh, he said, إِنَّمَا, the word إِنَّمَا, the very first word there, إِنَّمَا, أَدَاتُ حَصْرٍ. It's a linguistic device that is restrictive. When you hear إِنَّمَا, that means it's only or merely this. Only this is the case. تُفِيدُ إِثْبَاتَ الْحُكْمِ فِي الْمَذْكُورِ. It establishes a ruling about something that is mentioned, وَنَفْيَهُ عَمَّا سِوَاهُ, and it negates that ruling for everything outside of that named thing. So إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, the named thing here is the believers. So the believers are only such and such people with certain descriptions. And other people who do not have this description, they are not from the category of believers. أي ما المؤمنون إلا هؤلاء. Then the meaning of the passage is the believers are nothing but those who have this description, these people. والمراد, and the intended meaning, المؤمنون حقا, the real believers. المؤمنون حقا الذين تم إيمانهم, those whose iman is complete. And we talked before in many of our lessons about the completeness and perfection of iman versus the presence of deficient iman. While a person can have aslul iman, the foundational parts of iman, that he believes in Allah and the last day, he believes in the angels, the books, the prophets, he believes in the qadr, he has the foundations, yet there are many actions that require him to perfect his character. There are many statements and actions of iman that he may not have yet. So he is deficient in his iman. A brief reminder of a hadith which is authentically collected by Al-Imam Abu Dawood in his Sunan. مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ وَأَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ وَأَعْطَى لِلَّهِ وَمَنَعَ لِلَّهِ فَقَدِ اسْتَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانِ. Whoever loves for the sake of Allah, hates for the sake of Allah, gives for the sake of Allah, and refrains from giving, he withholds for the sake of Allah, then he has completed his iman. He has completed his iman. Our Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, referred to the completeness of al-iman. And this is the only way to understand so many texts that negate iman for someone who doesn't come with a certain action. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. None of you has iman until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Does this mean now that a stingy person who does not love for his brother what he loves for himself, he is not a believer, he is outside of Islam? No. لا يؤمن إيمانا كاملا. He doesn't have iman. What kind of iman? complete and perfected iman. So the negation of iman from him is the negation of the completeness of iman, not a negation of the foundational matters of al-iman. No one would say that any person who shows miserliness or stinginess is outside of Islam, except maybe some of the more deviant Khawarij cult who declare the Muslims because of their sinful behavior outside of Islam, and we ask Allah Ta'ala to free us from them and the filthy effects of their beliefs. إِلَّا هَؤُلَاءِ The believers who are true believers and they have completed their iman, إِلَّا هَؤُلَاءِ They're none but such people. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ Those who have really believed in Allah and His Messenger, آمَنُوا أَقَرُّوا إِقْرَارًا مُسْتَلْزِمًا لِلْقَبُولِ وَالْإِذْعَانِ They have believed with a belief, with an affirmation that requires from them to accept everything and to submit to everything from the deen of Allah Ta'ala. وَلَيْسَ مُجَرَّدَ الْإِقْرَارِ كَافِيًا وَلَيْسَ مُجَرَّدُ الْإِقْرَارِ كَافِيًا It's not the case that simply affirming or testifying in favor of iman, that you have iman, is sufficient. بَلْ لَبُدَّ مِنْ قَبُولٍ وَإِذْعَانٍ Rather, it is a must that you have acceptance, meaning for everything that comes with that belief, and idhan, submission and a humble servitude. وَالدَّلِيلُ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ مُجَرَّدَ الْإِقْرَارِ لَيْسَ بِكَافٍ And the evidence that proves simply affirming verbally or orally, attesting to iman, is not sufficient. أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ That the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. أخبر عن عمه أبي طالب He informed us about his uncle Abu Talib أنه في النار That he is in the fire. وذلك مع أنه مؤمن بالرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام And that's along with him being a mu'min. Here the word iman here is being used linguistically. He believed in his nephew as a prophet and messenger inwardly. Only the iman of the heart, that's it. Not the iman of the tongue or the iman of the statements and actions. مُصَدِّقٌ بِهِ He believed in his reports. He believed that his nephew was truthful and honest. يَقُولُ فِي لَامِيَتِهِ الْمَشْهُورَ He said in his famous Lamia poem. A Lamia poem is a poem that has lines that end with what letter? Lam. It's called a Lamia. A Nuniya ends with? Noon. A Ra'iya ends with? Ra, like that. So these are names of poems, they end with a certain letter. In his Lamia, he said, لَقَدْ عَلِيمُ أَنَّ ابْنَنَا لَا مُكَذَّبُ They have known, surely they have known, that our son, and here he's referring to his nephew, and in general the Arabs referred to their nephews as their children, and their uncles as their fathers as well. Just in general as respect, to show the tightness and the closeness of family relations, that he is not someone who's rejected. They know that he is not someone who is rejected. And he said this after, of course, his claim to prophethood. Ladaina, he is not rejected with us. وَلَا يُعْنَى بِقَوْلِ الْأَبَاطِلِ And he is not one who is intended in the statements of al-abatil. And I don't know if al-abatil here is a plural of batal, the brave poets, and when they dispraise someone, they do not intend him. Or is al-abatil here, al-abatil with the ya removed, the plural of batil, the plural of a false statement, that he is not intended with the statements of falsehood. Either way, his uncle Abu Talib would defend him and say that he is not to be dispraised. طيب ويقول عن دين الرسول And he said also about the religion of the messenger, the religion of his nephew, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ خَيْرُ أَدْيَانِ الْبَيْرِيَّةِ دِينًا And I have come to know that the deen of Muhammad, the religion of Muhammad, is the best of the religions of humanity in deen, in religion. The best religion out of all of the religions of humanity. And this is usually something that the shaykh himself would quote with the verse after it. لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ أَوْ حِذَارُ مَسَبَّةٍ لَرَأَيْتُنِي سَمْحًا بِذَلِكَ مُبِينًا Had it not been for fear of blame, or being worried about being insulted, then I would have seen myself graciously upon his way. meaning he recognized and he even confessed to the people that the reason he would not follow his nephew's religion was that what? He was afraid of blame and insults of his people. He was a man of high status amongst his people. And we always mention this as something to remind ourselves of, that worrying about what the people say about you can lead to this. This is the end result. If the shaitan takes you as far as he can take you, he begins to scare you with, if you follow the truth, if you take the right stance in your religion, the people may blame you, the people may demonize you, vilify you, and criticize you. The end result is this, you leave Islam totally. Why? That's the end of the path. Shaitan doesn't begin with that to be happy that you just let go of one recommended practice because of the people's criticism. Rather, he's only happy with you when you reject your religion and you will become from the dwellers of the hellfire forever. So do not give in, not even to the first point of criticism. When people criticize you because you are practicing something from your religion, take pride and say, this is from the blessing of Allah upon me, that I have manifested something of the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I never expected that it would please these people in the first place, being realistic. So why would I be worried that they're unhappy with me? Why would I be worried that they ridicule me? When Allah has told me that that's the description of the people who disbelieve, when they look at the people who believe. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ. The people of criminal behavior, meaning the disbelievers, they used to laugh at the believers. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ. And if they passed by them, they would mock them. وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ انْقَلَبُوا فَكِهِينَ. And when they went back to their family, they would go back to their family in joy. وَإِذَا رَأَوْهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُونَ. And if they saw them, if the disbelievers saw the believers, they would say, these people are astray. So these are the statements that Allah Ta'ala has told us that disbelievers are going to say when they see believers practicing their religion, holding to their beliefs, not compromising what they believe and what they are to practice, then yes, they mock them and they ridicule them. We say that we are honored because this is the book of Allah Ta'ala and it's ta'wil, the implementation of the book of Allah in our lives. So mock us and we're not offended. We're not upset and we're not turned off of any practice that we've been doing. Rather, we are reinforced. When we see a non-Muslim laughing at us, those silly Muslims and what they say, we say, Sadaq Allah. This is what Allah Ta'ala has informed us of. And we are strengthened in our conviction. This is what is supposed to happen. And think of those people who are trying to make the disbelievers happy with them and not ridicule them, giving up practices or statements or certain things. Some people are afraid to say in front of a non-Muslim, inshallah. When they talk about a future event with a non-Muslim, they say, I'm going somewhere. And they won't make istithna. They won't even say inshallah. What are they afraid of? They're afraid of someone saying, oh, you're one of those religious people who keeps talking about your Lord and, you know, His permission and all of these things. Rather, you say, I would only be able to accomplish anything if my Lord allows me, and don't have a problem with that. And that is how Islam is spread, by people not being embarrassed and people not being shy to mention their Lord and to praise Him and to mention His power and His sovereignty and His dominance over the affairs of this world. Walhamdulillah. So be confident. Don't be afraid of these people and what their opinion would be. Now here's Abu Talib and these lines of poetry. Our Shaykh says, لَكِنَّهُ وَلِعَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. However, he and Allah's refuges sought, لَمْ يَقْبَلْ هَذَا الدِّينِ. He did not accept this religion, Abu Talib. Huh? Even with all of his great statements in favor of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not accept it. وَلَمْ يُذْعِنْ لَهُ. He did not submit to it. And the last of what he said was, إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ الشِّرْكِ عَلَىٰ مِلَّةِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. That he died upon shirk, polytheism, the religion of Abd al-Muttalib, that is the worship of idols. فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. So the people who believe in Allah and His Messenger, هُمُ الَّذِينَ أَقَرُّوا إِقْرَارًا تَامًا بِمَا يَسْتَحِقُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. They are the ones that attest to, with a clear testimony, a perfect or complete testimony, affirming everything that Allah has a right to, Allah the Mighty and Majestic. وَبِمَا يَسْتَحِقُ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. And everything Every honor and every status that the messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, also deserves. They accept that, وَأَذْعَنُوا, and also they submit to it in servitude. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا, and then after that they do not have any doubt. كلمة ثُمَّ, the word here ثُمَّ, ثُمَّ هُنَا فِي مَوْقِعٍ مِنْ أَحْسَنِ الْمَوَاقِعِ, is in a very beautiful way that it is used, from the very best ways it is used. لِأَنَّ ثُمَّ, because the word ثُمَّ تَدُلُّ عَلَى التَّرْتِيبِ وَالْمُهْلَةِ, it proves things are in order, ثُمَّ, and also مُهْلَة, that sometime later that happens. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَرُّوا وَثَبَتُوا عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ, it means ثُمَّ, after that, and after some time they established themselves firmly and remained patient upon faith, مَعَ طُولِ الْمُدَّةِ, along with a long passing of time with that. لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا, they did not have doubt, أي لَمْ يَلْحَقْهُمْ شَكٌّ فِي الْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, no doubt reached them regarding belief in Allah and His Messenger. وَهُنَا نُنَبِّهُ إِلَى مَسْأَلَةٍ يَكْثُرُ السُّؤَالُ عَنْهَا فِي هَذَا الْوَقْتِ, here we'll mention a matter that is often the subject of questions in this time of ours. وَإِنْ كَانَ أَصْلُهَا مَوْجُودًا فِي عَهْدِ الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, even if its basis was even found, was actually found in the era or the time period of the messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. وَهِيَ الْوَسَاوِسِ, it is the issue of whisperings, wasawis, أَلَّتِي يُلْقِيهَا الشَّيْطَانُ فِي قَلْبِ الْإِنسَانِ, the whisperings that are cast into the heart of a person, the whisperings that are cast by the shaytan into the chest of a person. فَيُلْقِي الشَّيْطَانُ فِي قَلْبِ الْإِنسَانِ أَحْيَانًا وَسَاوِسًا, there are times when the shaytan whispers into the heart of an individual, wasawis, whisperings, وَشُكُوكًا فِي الْإِيمَانِ, and doubtful matters about faith, أو في القرآن, or about the Qur'an, the speech of Allah, أو في الرسول, or about the messenger. And then the Shaykh said something here on the tasjeel, which was not included in the printed book, so صيانة الكتاب, added in, put a note there, that is, في الرب عز وجل, he said, في الرب عز وجل, also you have some doubt that comes to your mind, some weird idea about Allah the Mighty and Majestic, يُحِبُّ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ يُمَزَّقَ لَحْمُهُ, a person would wish that his flesh be ripped off, وَيُكْسَرُ عَظَمُهُ, and his bones be broken, وَلَا يَتَكَلَّمُ بِذَلِكَ, before he would speak with something of this nature, the kind of horrible satanic whisperings that come into his chest. In our lessons, we've read his words about this topic before, and has been an inspiring point of advice, and I hope you pay attention. فَمَا مَوْقِفُ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ هَذَا, so what is the stance of a person as it relates to these whisperings that happen? Meaning this is all based on the believer, لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا, believers do not have doubt. But what about these whisperings that come? From الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ, the shaytan who approaches your chest, whispers into your heart, and then withdraws with what you are not responsible for, because it's his action and not your action. What do you do in response to these whisperings? موقف الإنسان من هذا, the correct stance of a person with this issue or on this issue, أن يستعيذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, that he seeks refuge with Allah from the outcast devil. وينتهي, and he finishes. He does not allow them to continue. He ends them. ويعرض عن هذا, he turns away from these kinds of thoughts. وَلَا يُفَكِّرُ فِيهِ إِطْرَاقًا, and he doesn't develop them or contemplate about them in any way whatsoever. وَقَدْ أَخْبَرَ النَّبِيُّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, and the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, he informed us about this matter. أَنَّ مِثْلَ هَذِهِ الْوَسَاوِسِ صَرِيحُ الْإِيمَانِ, that these whisperings, the likes of these whisperings, they are a very clear representation or manifestation of iman, of faith. Not a bad thing, not a sign of a filthy soul, as you will see, but rather the sign of what? Of purity, the sign of good for a believer. How is that? You think who has these whisperings except evil people who are involved in evil actions? No, listen. Ay khalisul iman, sarih al iman, khalisul iman, purity of iman. And the hadith that he's referring to here that he doesn't mention is the narration of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that's collected in Sahih Muslim, where he said some of the companions came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they said, Inna najidu fi anfusina ma yata'azamu ahaduna an natakallama bihi. Things come to our souls that a person would never imagine ever speaking of. Meaning unthinkable matters, horrible unthinkable matters come to a person's thoughts and they asked what to do with this. He said, أَوَجَدْتُمُوهُ. Have you detected that? You've been able to detect that? And they said, Naam, yes we have. So he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, ذَاكَ صَرِيحُ الْإِيمَانِ. That is the pure manifestation of iman. That you have detected it. Not that it's present, but that you're able to detect it. Because it could be present, and you could follow it, and become from the worst of the disbelievers. So its presence is not sarih al-iman. What's sarih al-iman? The fact that you detect it, and it disgusts you. That's iman. There are some people who are not disgusted by that. If you had a whim that came to you about homosexuality, and it disgusted you, and you sought refuge with Allah from it, are you not a believer because of your disgust? And there are people who accept it with an open heart. And they say, oh, what a beautiful idea. And they chase after it. And they go after, you know, a man goes after another man. And now, of course, as you know, this becomes a lifestyle. This becomes freedom, and it's defended and upheld and honored and celebrated. So there are people who take that path as it relates to wasawis shaytaniya. And who is it that would whisper such an idea into the heart of a person? It's a shaytan. So, abshir, good news, glad tidings. You have a filthy thought come to you. It is not your thought that has come to you. It is from who? Your enemy. You recognize it as a waswasa, a whispering from the shaytan, and you shun it, and then you have glad tidings from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam that when you found disgust within yourself, that you could, as they said, yata'azam ahaduna an natakallama bihi. One of us would never imagine ever speaking about such filth. The fact that that's your stance on it is proof that you have iman. Because there are people that have these kinds of whims coming to them, and they talk about it. And they express it, and they chase after it, and they act upon it. They build on it, and they develop it, and they may even take what the shaytan gives them and multiply it, and magnify it, and make something even nastier than the original thought that came to them. We thank Allah that we're not from these people, and that we find hatred, disgust, these kinds of responses within ourselves when we think of such matters. Walhamdulillah. There are people who say, I am afflicted with whisperings. I am afflicted with whisperings. Listen to what the Shaykh says. Check this out. لِأَنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا يَأْتِي لِلْإِنسَانِ الشَّاكِ يُشَكِّكُهُ فِي دِينِهِ. The Shaytan doesn't come to people who are doubtful. They already have doubts in order to whisper doubts into their chest. Why? Because they already have doubts. They're already confused. The shaytan doesn't need to come and whisper confusion to them because they're confused already. وَإِنَّمَا يَأْتِي لِإِنسَانٍ ثَابِتٍ مُسْتَقَرٍ. He only comes with these kinds of whisperings to a person who is what? Who is stable, مُسْتَقَرْ, established and stable. That's who he whispers to. لِيُشَكِّكَهُ فِي دِينِهِ, in order to cause some confusion about his religion. فَيُفْسِدُهُ عَلَيْهِ, and corrupt it upon him, corrupt his religion for him. And a point here before we continue reading, there's a footnote, and there's a reference to a hadith, which I'm baffled at, that there is no reference to this hadith at all in the speech of the Shaykh, but there's a reference to some hadith, which is loosely related to the topic. If you have a copy of the book, just put an X on it. This footnote here is not serving the speech of the Shaykh really in any direct or clearly connected way, and Allah Ta'ala knows best. I could talk about what that hadith is, but it's just not connected to the speech of the Shaykh and it doesn't help serve the point. So I'll leave it. He says, فَالْمُؤْمِنُ الَّذِي اسْتَقَرَّ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. So the believer who's had iman becomes stable in his heart. وَطْمَأَنَّ قَلْبُهُ بِالْإِيمَانِ. And his iman has become settled, or his heart has become settled with iman, with faith. هُوَ الَّذِي يَأْتِيهِ الشَّيْطَانُ لِيُفْسِدَ عَلَيْهِ. He's the one that the shaitan comes to in order to corrupt him, to corrupt his religion upon him. أَمَّا مَنْ لَيْسَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ. As for the person who's not a believer, فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا يَأْتِيهِ بِمِثْلِ هَذِهِ الْوَسَاوِسِ. The shaitan doesn't come to him with these kinds of whisperings. لِأَنَّهُ مُنْتَهٍ مِنْهُ. Because he's already finished with him. He's through. He's already done his job with that one. والمهم, what's important? أَنَّ قَوْلَهُ, his statement, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُ, and then they don't have doubt, يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُمْ ثَبَتُوا عَلَىٰ الْإِيمَانِ. It shows that they what? They have stability upon faith. وَلَوْ طَالَتِ الْمُدَّةِ. Even if they live for a long life, they are stable the entire length of their lives upon الإيمان. فَإِذَا قَالَ قَائِلٌ. If a person were to say, ما الطريقة التي توجب للإنسان ثبوت الإيمان واستقراره. What is the way that a person can get the stability of iman and regularity in his iman? The Shaykh offers 4 points of advice. Very beautiful benefit here. Put a star there if you have a book. This is Fawaid, or I'm sorry, Turuq Ithbatul Iman. The ways that you can make iman firm and stay firm upon iman. قُلْنَا, he said, then the response is أَوَّلًا. The first way is أَنْ يَتَفَكَّرَ فِي مَخْلُوقَاتِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. That he think about, contemplate the creation of Allah, the Exalted and Most High. وَأَنَّ هَذِهِ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ الْعَظِيمَةَ لَمْ تَكُنْ وَلِيدَةَ الصَّدْفَةِ. That these things have not come about in some cosmic accident. وَلَمْ تَكُنْ وَلِيدَةً بِنَفْسِهَا. And they have not created themselves. They have not come about by themselves. Everything that you see. Contemplating the creation of Allah Ta'ala. Secondly, the second way to be firm, consistent and stable upon iman. ثَانِيًا أَنْ يَتَفَكَّرَ فِي شَرِيعَةِ اللَّهِ وَكَمَالِهَا. That he think about the legislative rulings of the Islamic legislation, and how perfect and appropriate they are, or how perfectly appropriate they are. ثالثاً أن يتفكر في سيرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Thirdly, that he think about the historical biography of the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. وآياته وما إلى ذلك. And his miraculous signs that he came with, and similar matters. Thirdly. Fourth way to become firm in iman. رابعاً أن يكثر من ذكر الله عز وجل. That he mention Allah much, Allah the Mighty and Majestic. فَإِنَّهُ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Because with the mention of Allah, the hearts will find tranquility. ويكثر من الطاعات والأعمال الصالحة. And so he does much deeds that are deeds of obedience and righteous actions. لِأَنَّ الطَّاعَاتِ وَالْأَعْمَالَ الصَّالِحَةَ تَزِيدُ فِي الْإِيمَانِ. That's because actions of obedience and righteous deeds, they increase a person's iman. They foster and grow a person's iman. كَمَا هُوَ مَذْهَبُ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ. As is the belief or the methodology of the people of the sunnah and the jama'ah, رحمهم الله. May Allah have mercy on all of them. وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And they wage jihad. They partake in military confrontations with their wealth and with their selves, meaning physically with themselves, in the way of Allah. And this is a reference to the military system in Islam. They enlist in the Muslim government's established military forces. For example, they enlist in the army or the navy of an established Muslim country. Not that they join a militia. Not that they sympathize with or support or send money to or send support to the likes of ISIS, Boko Haram, Al-Qaeda, called Al-Qaeda in the West, Al-Shabaab, and the likes of these Khawarij groups who have nothing to do with the meaning of the word jihad except to distort it. The Shaykh says, هذا أيضا معطوف على قوله آمنوا. This description is connected to or added on to the statement of Allah, Amanu, those who believe in Allah and His Messenger and don't have doubt afterwards, and they establish jihad, the real legislated Islamic jihad. Aihum ma'a imanihim billah, they are along with their faith in Allah, Azza wa Jal, the mighty and majestic, wa yaqeenihim wa adam irtiyabihim, and their certainty and their lack of wavering in doubt. Yuriduna an yuslihu ibadallahi bil jihadi fi sabilillah. They wish to help the people attain righteousness. Yuslihu. They need to enter them into Islam, to bring rectification to them, and to help them become righteous by fighting in military confrontations with the Muslim government in the way of Allah. Yujahiduna a'da'allahi liyarji'u ila deenillahi. They battle and they take on in legitimate battle the enemies of Allah so that they would return to the religion of Allah. وَيَسْتَقِيمُوا عَلَيْهِ, and then they would become upright upon it. لَا لِلْانْتِقَامِ مِنْهُمْ, not in order to get some kind of revenge or some kind of attack on certain people. وَلَا لِلْانْتِصَارِ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ, and not to get some revenge for themselves personally. وَلَكِنْ لِيُدْخِلُوا فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, but rather in order to make the way for people to accept al-Islam, the religion of Allah, the mighty and majestic. وَالْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ هُوَ الْقِتَالُ لِتَكُونَ كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا. The meaning of jihad, the meaning of jihad is what? In the way of Allah it is the combat which is intended to establish the word of Allah as the uppermost. لَا لِلْانْتِقَامِ, not revenge battles. فَالْخِتَالُ لِلْانْتِقَامِ لَيْسَ إِلَّا مُدَافَعَةً عَنِ النَّفْسِ. Fighting just in order to get revenge is only that a person fights for himself, not for Allah Ta'ala. أَوْ أَخْذًا بِالثَّأْرِ فَقَدْ, or to get revenge, or to get some kind of, to get someone back alone. لَكِنَّ الْجِهَادَ حَقِيقَةً هُوَ أَن يُقَاتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ لِتَكُونَ كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا. The real jihad, the real goal of military confrontation in al-Islam is what? It is to establish the word of Allah as uppermost in the land. لَكِنْ لَا شَكَّ أَنَّ مَنْ قَاتَلَ دِفَاعًا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. However, it's worth mentioning here that no doubt when a person fights in order to defend himself, he defends himself physically. فَإِنَّهُ إِن قُتِلَ فَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. If he were to die defending his personal safety, then he is a martyr. He is on a level of martyrdom, less than the major martyrdom, which is in real established military confrontations, but he is a martyr on a lesser level. وَإِن قَتَلَهُ صَاحِبُهُ فَصَاحِبُهُ فِي النَّارِ. And if his opponent that he is defending himself against, the assailant or the aggressive one, the attacker, kills him in that struggle, then his opponents will be in the fire. كما جاء في الحديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, just as has come in the hadith from the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. في من أراد أن يأخذ مالك قال لا تعطيه. Regarding the person who asked about someone who comes to try to rob you of your money, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't give it to him. Don't give it to him. If you are robbed, don't give your money up. قَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. So the man said, O Messenger of Allah, أَرَأَيْتَ إِن قَاتَلَنِي. What if he fights me? Meaning, what if he engages me and tries to kill me? قَالَ قَاتِلْهُ. He said, then fight him. Fight back. قَالَ أَرَأَيْتَ إِن قَتَلَنِي. What if he kills me? What's going to happen if he kills me? قَالَ أَنْتَ شَهِيدٌ. He said, then you are a martyr. قَالَ إِن قَتَلْتُهُ. But what if I kill him? Meaning, in self-defense against an assailant, an attacker, or a mugger, or a robber, and the likes. What if I kill him? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَهُوَ فِي النَّارِ. Then he'll be in the fire. Allahu Akbar. So he's in the fire whether he kills you or whether you kill him. فَالْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. So jihad in the way of Allah, هُوَ الْقِتَالُ لتكون كلمة الله هي العليا. It is the military combat that has the goal of making the word of Allah uppermost. هذا هو الذي حده النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. This is the definition given to it by the messenger, by the prophet. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. وَفَصَلَهُ فَصْلًا قَاطِعًا. And he explained it with detail that doesn't leave any argument. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Allah says about these people. These people who do what? Believe in Allah, His Messenger, don't doubt, and wage jihad, joining the Muslim army of an established legitimate government with their wealth and their selves, by the way. فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. In the way of Allah, they are the truthful ones. فِي إِيمَانِهِمْ. As it relates to their iman. وَعَدَمِ ارْتِيَابِهِمْ. And that they have not wavered in doubt. أَمَّا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ آمَنَّا. As for the Bedouins that said, آمَنَّا. They said, we have believed. وَلَكِنَّهُمْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا حَقِيقَةً. However, they did not really believe, meaning the hypocrites who had not had belief, the basis of iman. وَلَكِنْ أَسْلَمُوا. They accepted Islam openly. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَيْسُوا صَادِقِينَ. Then such people are not honest in their claim to be Muslims. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And thus Allah, the Most High, has said, قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. Say, you have not believed. Say to those claimants to belief, you have not believed. Rather, say, I have accepted Islam. Meaning, I have submitted openly. That is the correct statement. Then Allah says, قُلْ أَتُعَلِّمُونَ اللَّهَ بِدِينِكُمْ. Say to them, O Muhammad, are you going to teach Allah about your deen? وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Whilst Allah knows every matter that is in the heavens and on earth. هَذَا إِنْكَارٌ لِقَوْلِ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا آمَنَّا. This is to reject the statement of those who have said, آمَنَّا. We have believed. يعني أتعلمون الله تعالى بأنكم آمنتم. Are you teaching Allah the Most High that you have believed? وهو عليم بكل شيء. Whilst He knows each and everything. وتعلمون الله بمعنى. And the meaning of تعلمون الله, that you teach Allah. تخبرون الله, that you are informing Allah. وليس المراد أن ترفعوا جهله عن حالكم. And the intended meaning here is not that you would think that you are going to inform him of what he is ignorant of about your situation. فَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ حَالَهُمْ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Because he, the mighty and majestic, knows all about their situation. وَيَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُمْ مُؤْمِنُونَ أَوْ غَيْرُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. And he knows that they are believers or that they are not believers. لَكِنْ تُعَلِّمُونَ هُنَا. However, here the word تُعَلِّمُونَ, to teach. Here in this case, بِمَعْنَ تُخْبِرُونَ. It means to inform. وَلَيْسَ مَعْنَاهُ أَن تَرْفَعُ الْجَهَلَ عَنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And the meaning is not that you are going to inform Allah of what He doesn't know, and teach Allah what He doesn't know. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ جَاهِلًا بِحَالِهِمْ. Because Allah is not unaware of their situation. بَلْ هُوَ عَالِمْ. Rather, He is all-knowing. أَتُعَلِّمُونَ اللَّهَ بِدِينِكُمْ. Are you going to inform Allah about your deen? حِينَمَا قُلْتُمْ آمَنَّا. When you have said آمَنَّا, we have iman, we have faith. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Whilst Allah knows all matters that are in the heavens and upon earth. وَمِنْهَا أَيْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ. And from those things, meaning from the things that are in the heavens. وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And upon earth. حَالُكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Your situation, whether you are believers, أو غير مؤمنين, or not believers. وفي هذه الآية إشارة. In this verse there is an إشارة, تفسير بالإشارة, right? From the subtle kinds of تفسير is what you could say, you could call it an allusion, not illusion, an allusion with an A, to allude to something, to hint at something. Here the Shaykh says this verse hints at a meaning. It is something that is understood indirectly, and that is, what does he say? He says, أَنَّ النُّطْقَ بِالنِّيَّةِ فِي الْعِبَادَاتِ مُنْكَرٍ. That for you to speak with words that identify your intention in acts of worship is a detested thing. Right? Examples are coming. لِأَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ الَّذِي يَقُولُ أُرِيدُ uridu an usalli, for a person who says, I intend to pray, يُعَلِّمُ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِمَا يُرِيدُ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ, he is informing Allah of what he intends to do, of his action, and Allah is the Exalted and Most High. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ, and Allah already knows. وَالَّذِي يَقُولُ أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَسُومَ كَذَلِكَ, and similarly is the one who, he puts a phrase together of, I intend to fast. He is similarly like that. وَالَّذِي يَقُولُ نَوَيْتُ أَنْ أَتَصَدَّقَ كَذَلِكَ, the one who says, I intend, nawaitu, is like uridu, I intend to, I have the intention to what? To give charity. He is also from this category, meaning he has come with an evil thing. وَالَذِي يَقُولُ نَوَيْتُ أَنْ أَحُجَّ كَذَلِكَ أَيْضًا, the one who says, I intend to make hajj, he is also similar to that. وَلِهَذَا لَا يَسُنُّ النُّطْقُ بِالنِّيَّةِ فِي الْعِبَادَاتِ كُلِّهَا, and thus it is not established from the sunnah that a person pronounce his intention verbally in any act of worship at all, even in hajj. لَا فِي الْحَجِّ وَلَا فِي الصَّدَقَةِ, not in hajj, not in charity, وَلَا فِي الصَّوْمِ وَلَا فِي الْوُضُوء, and not in fasting, and not when making wudu, وَلَا الصَّلَاةِ, and not about prayer, وَلَا فِي غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ, in no other case. لِأَنَّ النِّيَّةَ مَحَلُّهَا الْقَلْبِ, as the intention, its place is in the heart. وَاللَّهُ عَالِمٌ بِذَلِكَ, and Allah is most knowledgeable about that already. وَلَا حَاجَةَ إِلَىٰ أَن تُخْبِرَ اللَّهَ بِهَا, so there is no need for you to inform Allah about that matter. And there is some differing amongst the ulama about hajj specifically. They say that the dhikr at the beginning of hajj, some of the scholars say this is the one exception of pronouncing the intention openly. حَجَّن لَبَيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ حَجَّن وَلَبَيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ عُمْرَةً, I have come here at your service, O Allah, for Hajj or Umrah. Some scholars consider this to be كَلِمَةُ niyyah, the statement of the niyyah for Hajj alone. Other scholars say, no, this is the legislated dhikr for that time. It is not the intention. And the haqq is with them. Why? Because a person could say, out of his tongue, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ عُمْرَةً, and he's a show-off who does not intend Umrah for the sake of Allah. So he says, here I am, O Allah, for Umrah out of his tongue, but Allah knows what's in his heart. He's a hypocrite who is not matching what he says on his tongue with what is in his heart. So since the reality may be that a person has an intention in his heart that is in opposition to what is on his tongue, like the case of the hypocrite, then the reality of all intentions is that the intentions are in the heart, and that is the best position in this issue of differing, and Allahu Ta'ala knows best. Wallahu bi kulli shay'in alim. Then the end of the verse, the end of the 16th verse, Allah is regarding all matters, all knowledgeable. فَمَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ عَامٌ, then the phrase, everything in the heavens is a general phrase, including all things, without excluding anything. وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ عَامٌ, and likewise, everything on earth includes everything unrestrictedly. فَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ يَعْلَمُهُ اللَّهُ, so it is that all things are known to Allah. وَقَدْ تَقَدَّمَ لَنَا الْكَلَامُ مِرَارًا عَلَى هَذِهِ الصِّفَةِ مِنْ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ, and our explanation has proceeded many times about this attribute, from the many attributes of Allah, the attribute of knowledge. وَالَّتِي هِيَ مِنْ أَوْسَعِ صِفَاتِهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى, that attribute which is from the most expansive of His attributes, the Mighty and Most High. Allah Ta'ala's knowledge is perfect and complete. Allah Ta'ala's knowledge is what? Not preceded by ignorance and not followed up by forgetfulness. In contrast to the knowledge of the creation, Allah is dissimilar to His creation. بِذَاتِهِ, He Himself, with His presence, He is dissimilar to the presence of anything within His creation. And each and every attribute that He has, He is dissimilar to, not like, the attributes of any of His creation. So our knowledge, it is ilm. It is called knowledge. And Allah's knowledge is called ilm. The word is shared. However, ilmullah, it doesn't have the same description that the ilm of the people has. Our ilm is necessarily learned. إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ, knowledge is only Here's a negation with innama, which connects to our lesson. Innama al-ilm. Knowledge is nothing but something learned. There is no person who has knowledge because he just manifested knowledge. There is no person who has any real knowledge except that he learned that knowledge. Ta'alluman. He gained it through a process of ta'allum, which is tadarraj fil-ilm. Little lessons and then bigger lessons and so on. Branches of knowledge one by one. There is no one who has any knowledge except he has gone through the process of learning it. No one was born knowledgeable. He's the one who brought you out of the wombs of your mothers. لا تعلمون شيئا. And you had no knowledge of anything. So إنما العلم بالتعلم. Knowledge is only the result of gaining it, of working to gain it, putting forth the effort to learn it. There are some people who think they can pray for 20 years and they can fast every Ramadan and be consistent with their worship and grow a long beard and dress with Islamic clothes, and they should be regarded as knowledgeable people because they say life experience. Maybe with those people who are selling the fake degrees 20 years ago, you could turn in your 20 years of prayer and get a degree from a certain university that shows you have knowledge of Islam based on life experience. But in reality, knowledge of the Book of Allah is learned from the scholars of Islam, and knowledge of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is likewise learned. It is not the result of acts of piety in general. It is the result of at-ta'allum. It is the result of learning it. It is the result of seeking it. It is the result of lowering yourself. Your brothers don't understand the benefit of sitting in front of a teacher, sitting close, paying attention, giving up your time to sit in the masjid and listen and learn about tafsir and aqidah. This is what makes a person knowledgeable in Islam and nothing else. It is not that you sit by yourself and reflect and become knowledgeable. Rather, knowledge is the result of learning it from its proper channels. And the more humble you are in that, the more you lower yourself, the more you sit on the floor in front of your teacher, not for the sake of honoring your teacher, but for the sake of that knowledge becoming something in your heart that is very important to you. You travel to seek knowledge. Look at the people who gain the most knowledge. They're not the people who sit here. The people who've left America and they've gone to the land of the scholars and they sit with the scholars. Those are the people who gain knowledge seriously. Right? The people who sit locally and do their best, they may gain a little bit of knowledge. It trickles down to them through a student here and there. But the real knowledge is gained by the people who leave their lands initially and they humble themselves in front of the scholars. They sit at the feet of the scholars for years and learn, and then Allah Ta'ala may see in them what He loves from them and bless them and grant them success in attaining that knowledge. So that was all just to contrast the knowledge of Allah versus the knowledge of the people. Not to compare, we don't compare, we contrast. Because why? Our basis, as it relates to attributes of Allah and attributes of the creation, is contrast. They are different. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like Allah Ta'ala. Not in His presence, nor in any of His attributes. So this is just a bit of what the Shaykh has taught previously on the topic of knowledge and that attribute that Allah Ta'ala has. وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And Allah is knowledgeable about all things. خَفِيٌّ أَوْبَيٍّ. Some hidden matters as well as those which are manifest and open. عَامٌ أَوْ خَاصٌ. All encompassing general matters and specific matters. فَهُوَ عَالِمٌ بِهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ. He knows about all of that, the Mighty and Most High. يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا. They come to you, O Muhammad, mentioning it to you as if it's a favor to you that they have accepted Islam. They say, we have accepted Islam for your benefit, O Muhammad, to increase you in followers and to aid you. It is a favor from us to you. That is the statement of the Bedouins who do not understand. قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ. Allah commands His Prophet to say in response to them, do not mention your Islam to me as a favor to me. بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ. Rather, it is that Allah has bestowed His favor upon you, that He has guided you to faith. إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you are but truthful. That's the 17th verse. في هذه الآية تكررت أن ثلاث مرات. In this verse, the word أن has been repeated three times. How many times is the word أن used in the verse? Three times. Where are they in the verse? Count them for me. يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُ. And there's the first one. And the Shaykh did this when he said, it's been mentioned three times. He went back to the verse and he identified them, and it's not in the transcript. The second case is what? Or the second usage of أَنْ. بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ. Number two. Where's the third one? In? He said أَنْ. And is different from in. Where's the third one? You guys said three. I asked you how many times it was in the verse. You said three. When the Shaykh read over the verse, he said marratain at the end. He said it's mentioned two times. And when you transcribe the words of a person, in fairness, when he says something is three times, and then he goes two times, then what do you attribute to him? Two times. It's called in Arabic, بَدَلُ التَّصْحِيح. It's like saying, I paid $4 for that sandwich. $5. How much did you pay for the sandwich? $5. You said, I paid $4 for this sandwich. $5. When you said $5, this is understood in real speech to be a correction of what you had said. You spoke erroneously by saying $4 and you wish to correct it. It's $5. That's called بَدَلُ التَّصْحِيح. It's that you mention something afterwards. You don't say clearly, I made a mistake and I would like to correct my mistake. $4 is incorrect. $5 is what is correct. But rather you say, I paid $4 for this sandwich. $5. And it's clear from the context that you paid $5 for the sandwich and not $4. Right? Yeah. This is called بَدَلُ التَّصْحِيح. And this is what the Shaykh has done here. He said it's been mentioned three times in the verse. Then he went back over the verse and said مَرَّتَيْن. So it's strange to see that the person transcribing the lectures did not pick up on that, and they left three times in the printed version, when it's clearly not three times in the verse in the first place. Without a note, even if the Shaykh erred and said it's three times in the verse, there could be a note saying actually it's two times, and perhaps the Shaykh meant an end from a different verse to make an excuse or something. But the Shaykh here himself recognized his own error and he corrected it, yet it has not made its way into our transcript here. So where it says ثلاثة مرات, underline that, put a little note there and put مرتين. And the way you use, if you are doing what's called صيانة النسخة or تصحيح النسخة, you know, keeping your version of the book correct and free of errors, you use the word الأصل. الأصل being a reference to where this material came from. What is it? It's a recording of the Shaykh's live tafsir. Al-Asl is a reference to the recorded file. So instead of ثلاثة مرات, you put مرتين. أي يمنون عليك يا محمد بإسلامهم. Means they are mentioning it as a favor to you, O Muhammad, that they have accepted Islam. وحذف الجملة, here's where the printing gets really bad. حذف الجملة مع أن مضطرد كما قال ابن مالك رحمه الله في الألفية. This one makes no sense at all. And this is not what the Shaykh said. The Shaykh said, وحذف الجار, not جملة. There's no جملة missing here. There's a حرف جار missing. And it's a باء. بإسلامهم. أن أسلموا أي بإسلامهم. That's the reference. This is a bit of advanced Arabic, and there is a reference here to the Alfiyah of Ibn Malik, which we're not even going to touch at this stage with our level of Arabic. However, we are going to say that the intended, or the, what the Shaykh said was, وَحَذْفُ الْجَارِ مَعَ أَنْ, and also أَنَّ with a شَدَّة مُطَّرَدْ كَمَا قَالَ إِبْنُ مَالِكِ. It is something that happens in the Arabic language, as mentioned by Ibn Malik, may Allah have mercy on him, in his Alfiyah. That's his poetry regarding the rules of Nahu, Arabic grammar. يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا. They mention to you as if it's a favor to you that they have accepted Islam. أَيْ بِأَنْ أَسْلَمُوا أَيْ بِإِسْلَامِهِمْ. And that's just some explanation of the structure of the wording there. وَيَعْنِي بِذَلِكَ قَوْمًا. What's intended here is a certain group of people. أَسْلَمُوا بِدُونِ قِتَالٍ. They accepted Islam without fighting. فَجَعَلُوا يَمُنُّونَ عَلَى الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. And then they came mentioning their Islam as some kind of favor to the Messenger. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. يَذْكُرُونَ لَهُ الْفَضَائِلَ وَيَقُولُونَ نَحْنُ آمَنَّا بِكَ مِن دُونِ قِتَالٍ مَا أَنَّ الْمَصْلَحَةَ لَهُمْ. They say to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have believed in you, mentioning his virtues, and they say to him, we have believed in you without fighting, that they have accepted Islam without being forced militarily into battle. Rather, they have accepted Islam willingly. And they're using that as the angle for their favor to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While the real benefit in them accepting Islam was for who? It was for them, saving themselves from the fire. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And this is why Allah the Most High says, بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ. Rather, it is Allah that has bestowed His favor upon you, guiding you to al-Iman, to faith. وَقَوْلُهُ بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ. His statement, it is Allah that has bestowed His favor upon you. هَذَا إِضْرَابٌ لِإِبْطَالِ مَا سَبَقٍ. This is using the word bel, rather, or but. It's to negate what has been previously mentioned. أَيْلَيْسَ لَكُمْ مِنَّةٌ عَلَى الرَّسُولِ. It shows that there is no favor here that has been given to the Messenger, عليه الصلاة والسلام. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. بِإِسْلَامِكُمْ. Through your acceptance of Islam. بَلِ الْمِنَّةُ لِلَّهِ. Rather, the favor is from Allah. It is the right of Allah, عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, the mighty and majestic, عَلَيْكُمْ, that he has put upon you. أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ, that he has guided you to al-Iman, to faith. وَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّ هَذَا أَعْظَمُ مِنَّةٍ. There's no doubt that this is the greatest of all favors. أَنْ يَمُنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْعَبْدِ بِالْهِدَايَةِ إِلَى الْإِيمَانِ. That Allah bestows His favor upon a servant and guides him to faith. مَعَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَضَلَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْأُمَّةِ عَنْهُ. While Allah has led many of the ummah away from Him. وَقَدْ أَخْبَرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And even the Prophet has informed us, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, أَنَّ مِنْ كُلِّ أَلْفٍ تِسْعَمِئَةٍ وَتِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ كُلَّهُمْ فِي النَّارِ وَوَاحِدًا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. Out of every thousand of the people, the humankind, all of them, out of the 1,999 of them are in the fire, and one of them is in paradise. That's a hadith is collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim, and the meaning is a bit intricate. That's after Ya'juj and Ma'juj, that are an expansive creation of Allah that overtake the earth. And Allah knows best about their number, but they are great in number as disbelievers, and they count. And after their coming, the believers will be 1 out of 1,000. 1 out of 1,000 in number. فَمَنْ وُفِّقَ بِأَنْ يَكُونَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. So whoever has been granted success, look at the book again, you need to make a correction. It says بِأَنَّ وَاحِدًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Erase the word or put a line over اِضْرِبْ وَاحِدًا. It's a mistake. He said بِأَنْ يَكُونَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. There's a lot of mistakes on this page specifically. I don't know. The transcriber was tired at this time specifically. As he was getting right near the end of the surah, there are many mistakes on this page, subhanAllah. So then, فَمَنْ وَفِّقَ بِأَنْ يَكُونَ. The word يَكُونَ there, al-asl. أَيْوَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. For a person to be given success to be that one that's in paradise, فَإِنَّ هَذِهِ مِنَّةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ. This is a great favor. وَلِهَذَا كَانَ الْأَنصَارُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ حِينَ جَمَعَهُمَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَوْمَ قَسَّمَ غَنَائِمَ حُنَيْنَ. And thus the Ansar, the supporters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from the residents of Medina, may Allah be pleased with them, at the time the Prophet was gathering them to distribute the spoils of war from the battle of Hunain, كلما ذكر إليهم شيئا. Every time he mentioned something to them about the favors of Allah upon them, قالوا الله ورسوله آمن. They said, Allah and His Messenger have granted more favors. They have more of a favor upon us. قال, he said, for example, ألم أجدكم في ضلال فهداكم الله بي. Did I not come to you or find you whilst you were astray upon misguidance and Allah guided you through me? قالوا الله ورسوله آمن. They said, Allah and His Messenger have a great favor, a greater favor than anything else upon us. قال, then he said, أَلَمْ أَجِدْكُمْ مُتَفَرِّقِينَ فَجَمَعَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِي. Did I not find you all divided and split up, and then Allah gathered you together through me? قَالُوا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمَنْ. And so they said, Allah and His Messenger have more favors upon us than anyone else. كُلَّمَا ذَكَرَ شَيْئًا. Every time he mentioned a favor, قالوا الله ورسوله أمن. They said, Allah and His Messenger have the most favors upon us. فالمنّة لله. So favors they are to be ascribed to Allah. على كل من هداه الله بنعمه. For all of those people who have been guided by Allah, by His blessing. فالمنّة لله عز وجل عليه. And so the blessing or the favor upon him is from Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. وَقَوْلُهُ. And his statement, إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you are indeed truthful, the ending of the 17th verse, أي إِن كُنْتُمْ مِنْ ذَوِي الصِّدْقِ الْقَائِلِينَ بِالصِّدْقِ. If you are people of truth, speaking with truth, فَإِنَّ الْمِنَّةَ لِلَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Then the favor, the true favor, is something that Allah has given you and placed upon you. بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ. Rather, it is Allah who has bestowed His favor upon you, guiding you to Iman. The 18th verse has a very small paragraph. Allow me to finish that as we finish our tafsir of Surah Al-Hujurat this evening, insha'Allah ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Verily Allah knows all of the unseen matters of the heavens and the earth. وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah is all-seeing regarding everything that you do. أَخْبَرَ اللَّهُ فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. Allah has informed us in this verse. أَنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ كُلَّ مَا غَابَ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That He knows about every matter that is unseen in the heavens and the earth. And this word unseen, غيب, as it relates to Allah Ta'ala, I ask you, what is غيب to Allah? Allah is عالم الغيب والشهادة. What is غيب to Allah? Nothing. There is nothing that is غيب to Allah. Then what is this reference to Allah knowing the غيب? غيب to us. The reference is from our vantage point. From what we see, it's غيب. As for Allah Ta'ala, every ilm is ma'loom. Everything that is to be known is known to Him. So there is no ghaib as it relates to Allah Ta'ala. Yet Allah, from His perfect way of addressing us, is that He talks to us with language that we understand from our vantage point. Right? What does He talk to us about? The setting of the sun and the setting of the moon. Amazing! The sun rises and the sun sets. Astronomers today, what do they say? These religious people, and they say the sun rises and the sun sets. The sun doesn't rise. The sun doesn't set. What's happening? From your vantage point, it looks like the sun goes down. But the earth is revolving around the sun. The astronomers say this, right? So they say there's no such thing as a sunset. And then they point the finger at religions, and they point the finger at Muslims, who affirm the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun. We say Allah Ta'ala spoke to us about the sunrise and the sunset from our vantage point, as He spoke to us, calling Himself Alimul Ghaibi wa Shahada, the knower of all matters that are unknown and openly known. Meaning unknown to us and openly known to us. As for Him, there's no division of knowledge into Ghaib and Shahada. Everything is ma'loom. Everything is ilmun. Everything is knowledge that He has. Subhanallah. وَمَا ظَهَرَ فَهُوَ مِنْ بَابٍ أَوْلَى. And if Allah knows if every secret, subtle, hidden matter of the heavens and the earth, meaning subtle, secret, and hidden from others, not from Him, If he knows about all of those, then the open manifest knowledge that the people know about as well, that is even more so understood that Allah knows it. وَأَخْبَرَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ And he also informed, the mighty and majestic, he informed us, أَنَّ مِنْ جُمْلَةِ مَا يَعْلَمُهُ عَمَلَ بَنِي آدَمَ That from the generality of what he knows about is the actions of the descendants of Adam. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ And thus he said, وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ And Allah is all-seeing of all that you do. وَهَذِهِ الْآيَةُ تُفِيدُ مَسْأَلَةً عَظِيمَةً And this ayah has a benefit in it that is a great benefit indeed. فِي سُلُوكِ الْإِنسَانِ وَعَمَلِهِ As it relates to the character of a person and his behavior. وَهِيَ أَنْ يَعْلَمَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى بَصِيرٌ بِعَمَلِهِ مُحِيطٌ بِهِ It is to know that Allah the Most High sees His actions and is completely encompassing of His actions. فَيَخْشَ اللَّهَ وَيَتَّقِيهِ So he fears Allah, and he is pious in his relationship with Allah. It should say وَيَتَّقِيهِ with a ya there. صِيَانَةُ الْكِتَابِ Add a ya there. It's not وَيَتَّقْهِ. يَتَّقْهِ would be majzum. Where's the jazm? فَيَخْشَ اللَّهُ And it would be a حَذْفَ الْأَلِفُ on فَيَخْشَ as well. It would be فَيَخْشَ اللَّهُ وَيَتَّقْهِ For those of you studying Arabic, there's no jazm here. There's no need for a fi'l majzum. وَفِيهَا التَّرْغِيبُ And this verse also contains something that exhorts us into action. فِي الْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ Into doing good deeds. فَإِنَّهَا لَن تَضِيعَ As those good deeds shall not be lost out. Meaning because Allah sees them and is all aware of them. وَفِيهَا التَّرْهِيبُ And in the verse is also something that should scare us, that should frighten us. مِنَ الْعَمَلِ السَّيِّئِ From doing bad deeds. لِأَنَّ الْعَبْدَ سَيُجَازَى عَلَيْهِ Because a servant will be held to account regarding his actions. لِأَنَّ الْكُلَّ مَعْلُومٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ Because all of that is known to Allah the Mighty. And majestic, نسأل الله تعالى أن يمن علينا بالهداية والتوفيق. We ask Allah, the Most High, that He favor us with guidance and success. And just as we close, I'll mention one more thing that was in the asl, in the original recording, that did not make its way to the transcript and is of kind of a nice high level of importance, that the Shaykh said, حَبَّذَا He said, what a great idea if someone were to go back from the beginning of the surah, all through the surah, 18 verses only, and list the manners, the Islamic manners that are mentioned from the beginning of the surah to the end of the surah, to be a marji', like a dalil, like a guide to manners from surah Al-Hujurat. This is forbidden, this is an obligation, and you find that most of the surah, most of the orders in the surah are all related to behavior. Appropriate behavior, obligatory behavior, discouraged behavior, and forbidden behavior, interactions and manners. The surah is heavy with manners. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to bless us with the embodiment of these manners that we have studied, and not to allow Surah Al-Hujurat or any part of the Qur'an to be a proof against us on the day when we face Him. And we know that the manners in Islam are extremely important, right? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innama bu'ithtu li'utammima salih al-akhlaq, makarim al-akhlaq." In one narration, I have only been sent to perfect good character. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma min shay'in athqalu fil mizan min husn khuluq." There is nothing heavier in the scale than good character. Good character is not only brother to brother and person to person interaction. Firstly, the first character is your interactions with Allah Ta'ala. Second most important character is your interaction with the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. After that, your interactions, your behavior with those around you, Muslims and non-Muslims alike. We are accountable for all of these things, all of our statements and actions that relate to our character. We ask Allah Ta'ala for good character. We beg Allah Ta'ala for good character. We ask Him alone to increase us in good character and to rid us of our bad character. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. If he kills you, he's in the fire. You're a shaheed. He's in the fire. What did I say? Aywa. Aywa, the hadith verbatim is, if he kills you, you're a shaheed. If you kill him, he's in the fire. However, the understanding I've given you is correct. It's understood from other narrations. Like what? إِذَا الْتَقَى الْمُسْلِمَانِ بِسَيْفَيْهِمَا فَالْقَاتِلُ وَالْمَقْتُولُ فِي النَّارِ. If two Muslims meet each other with their swords, meaning fighting, the killer and the killed are in the fire. So the companion said, well, we understand how the killer would be in the fire. Why would the one who's murdered be in the fire? He said, كان حريصا على قتل صاحبه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. He was intending to kill his opponent. So both of them had the niyyah of murder, killing a Muslim without right. One was successful and the other one wasn't successful. إنما الأعمال بالنيات. Actions are just by their intentions. Both of them were trying to commit the same crime. So both of them are guilty by their intentions, even if only one of them could be successful. Right? So the killer who kills a person without right is in the fire. And we understand that according to the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah, as a note, right? And the one who is killed when he was trying to kill someone in an impermissible way is in the fire. And we understand that according to how Ahl Sunnah understand that. What does that mean? Is he a disbeliever in the fire forever? If he was a Muslim who aggressively or transgressively killed another Muslim? What do you say? No. لَا تَرْجِئُ بَعْدِي كُفَّارًا يَضْرِبُ بَعْضُكُمْ رِقَابَ بَعْضٍ. Don't turn into kuffar after me. Some of you striking the necks of others. وَسِبَابُ الْمُسْلِمْ فُسُوقُ وَخِتَالُهُ كُفَّرٌ. Insulting a Muslim and fighting him is kuffar. This kuffar is two types. Which kuffar is the fighting of a Muslim? It's the lesser kufr that doesn't invalidate a person's Islam. How do we know that? Surah Al-Hujurat. It was already in this surah. Where is it? وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اِقْتَتَلُوا. Allah has described them as mu'mineen, believers. They're two parties of Muslims fighting each other. Allah has affirmed the description of iman for them. Are they mu'minun kummal al-iman? With complete, perfect iman? No, they're in an act of disobedience, fighting each other. It may be that one is defending itself justly. Allah has described both parties as mu'mineen. And He has affirmed that again and again throughout those two verses. وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينِ اقْتَتَلُوا. Two parties of believers fall into fighting. They're fighting. And Allah calls them believers. فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَهُمَا. Then bring about rectification between them. فَإِن بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي. And if one of them transgresses against the other, then fight the transgressor. حَتَّى تَفِيءَ إِلَى أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Until he returns back to the order of Allah. فَإِن فَاءَتْ فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَهُمَا. And if that party returns to the obedience of Allah, then rectify what's between them. فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدْلِ وَأَقْسِطُوا. And rectify the matter, meaning what? Assess the damage and get everyone what they deserve with justice. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Verily Allah loves those who establish perfect justice. Then Allah says, after all of that, all this fighting, breaking of a treaty, going back to fighting, all of that, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى. The believers are but brothers. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Look at the confirmations here. Then make peace between your brothers. So then, that verse is what Ahl Sunnah used to help them through all of the texts that mention kufr, which could be understood as major kufr, that takes one outside of Islam, or lesser kufr, that is a major sin but doesn't nullify your Islam. They use this verse and other proofs, this verse being one of the key proofs, to show that believers, a Muslim who fights another Muslim, is not engaged in an act that nullifies his Islam. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. That's how Ahl Sunnah understand the issue of murder, the taking of a life without right. It is a major sin. It is a disaster for a person. It is kufr. And we use the word kufr to warn someone against it when he's involved in it and we don't explain it. We would say to him what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا ترجعوا بعد كفارا. Don't become kufar fighting like this. يَضْرِبُ بَعْضُكُمْ رِقَابَ بَعْضٍ. Don't become kuffar. And they would maybe assume, at the time of their readiness to fight, that this would take me outside of Islam, and they refrain. Maybe it would scare them. And we save the academic breakdown for a class, or when it's befitting for that discussion. And this is the madhab of Al-Imam Ahmad, Al-Imam Sufyan, authority and others from the Salaf who said, leave these texts and don't explain them. Don't explain major kufr and minor kufr. Just narrate the hadith and leave it. Why? Because there are some people, if you explain that fighting a Muslim is not actually kufr akbar that nullifies your Islam, they go, okay, so I could kill him and I'm still a Muslim. Because I'm sick of him. And they will, there are people like that. Okay, my Islam is valid if I kill this guy that's been bothering me, even though he's a Muslim. If I kill him, my Islam will be valid, okay. And you know where he's going. Right, so there are people like that, that if they assumed that they would be outside of Islam, maybe then and only then they might refrain. So in the time of admonition, you don't explain the breakdown. When there is a need, perhaps now someone is wrongly categorizing a Muslim who fought another Muslim, categorizing him as a disbeliever and saying, we lost our brother in Islam. Yeah, I saw them fighting in the parking lot. I saw two brothers, one punched the other. So then, subhanAllah, I feel so bad we lost our brothers. You know, we lost them to disbelief. And so he understands really that fighting takes you outside of Islam. Now this one, it's an obligation that you clarify to him what the meaning of the kufr is for the one who fights. In this situation, he must know, because now he's calling a Muslim a kafir. And this is a major sin itself. It's leading to what is harmful. So the scholars say, in the time of admonition, when you warn the people against the likes of fighting or sins that can be called kufr, then call it kufr and leave it like that. And don't explain it. And you explain it when there is a need. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.